Hello, everyone. I'm going to talk about controller performance in software-defined networking. This is joint work with Sergey Gorbanov and Yashar Gangeli from University of Toronto, Martin Casado from Nicira Networks, and Rob Sherwood of Big Switch Networks. So I will start with a bit of a background. I will tell you what software-defined networking is and what I mean by controller performance and why controller performance matters. Software-defined networking just says decouple control from forwarding elements. Control apps are on top of a controller. For example, routing runs on NOX. So applications perform and scale differently. So I'm not going to talk about control applications, scalability, and performance. Instead, I'm going to focus on controller, which is just a pipe to get the messages delivered to control applications. Two criteria that are important for controller performance for us is how fast controller delivers requests from data path to the apps and replies from apps to the back to the data path, and how many requests it can handle, assuming that the application is basically a no-op app. It does nothing. So in other words, what's the controller overhead? Assuming that control application is doing something very trivial. Why does it matter at all? So reactive flow-based proposals have very tiny per-event computation or per-flow computation, like access control lists or any type of classification. They're doing something very trivial. It's just a table lookup. Ethane is an example, NOX forwarding. And for these type of applications, controller overhead outweighs the actual computation done by the application. And the poor performance motivated a bunch of works. The Diphane or Diphane, I'm not sure which one, proactively pushes us. Diphane. Proactively pushes a state down to the data path. Debitflow reduces controller load. Hyperflow replicates controllers. And what we want is to ideally have overhead of handling requests by the controller to be way less than the computation by the applications. But unfortunately, it's not the case. I'm going to explain CBench. CBench is a tool we designed for micro benchmarking controllers, flow-based micro benchmarks. CBench, what it does is that it emulates a number of open flow switches in software, connects to a controller, and starts sending packet ins to the controller. And the controller is going to reply with a packet out message or a flow modification message. And this is all open, all CBench does. So basically counting the number of messages the controller could handle. CBench has originally had two modes of operation. We added the third one for the sake of this paper. So delay mode, throughput mode, and the hybrid mode. Delay mode just measures the minimum response time. And the way it does it is to have exactly one packet on the fly at each point in time. It's ping pong. So request, reply, and measures how many you can handle. And one over that number is your minimum response time. The throughput mode characterizes the maximum achievable throughput by the controller. And the way to do it is to stress test the controller to fill all the pipes, all the buffers between the controller and the switch. And the hybrid mode that we added for the sake of this paper is lets you tune the number of packets on the fly and thus exactly tune the load on the controller. Throughput and delay are not independent. Basically, they're clearly related. Little's law says that the average delay is the average number of customers in the system, packets in the fly, over the average throughput. So we clearly see there is some relation here. And we use this to verify our results. So basically, our benchmarker could be wrong, and we could it could skew the results significantly. So all the way through this, throughout this paper, we use Little's theorem to verify our results. The benchmark setup, I just mentioned things that are important. There are lots of details. You can look at the paper for that. But the machines that we use have 8 2 gigahertz CPUs, Xeon processors. There are some old processors. And 4 gigabytes of DDR2 RAM. And for each test, the packet size is, minimum packet size, 82 bytes. Control bandwidth is 2 gigabits per second. The benchmarker and the controller are on 2 different machines to make sure there is no interference. And we teamed 2 1 gigabit per second links to provide 2 gigabit per second bandwidth, because for some of our experiments, we needed more than 1 gigabit per second. And unless otherwise I mention, there are 32 switches, and we are using 4 cores, running 4 threads. We evaluated the number of controllers. So basically, NUX is the first open flow controller. NUX, multi-threaded NUX, basically is the modified version of NUX that we present. Beacon is a Java-based controller, multi-threaded from Stanford. Master is a research controller from Rice University. NUX MT, the motivation for NUX MT is that NUX performs really, really bad. So it handles, and lots of papers cited this as the standard STM controller performance. It handles 30,000 flows, flow initiations per flow setups per second, with a mean delay of 10 milliseconds for each flow setup. That's just a controller delay. And regardless, the interesting thing is that regardless of the load you put on the controller, the result remains the same for the throughput. So it's almost remains the same. And the basic reason is that NUX does not batch requests together. For a single request, it just reads 8 bytes, one system call for reading the header. Reads the body of the message based on the length from the header, 2 system calls, just for reading 1 packet. So 30K is one round trip. So 4 system calls per request, 4 times 30K, 120 system calls, 20,000 system calls. That's the number that NUX has. So the takeaway is that NUX does not do batching, and that's why it can't scale. NUX MT is our first attempt to fix NUX. We just took 2 very simple things and changed those 2 things in NUX and see how it performs. So batch I/O handling is the first one, and we made it multi-threaded. And we left many of the issues unresolved. I may get the chance to talk about them. But it's far, far from perfect. Minimum response time for all the controllers is between 10 to 15 microseconds. So for the minimum response time, we only have 1 packet on the fly. So we see that the controller, for all the controllers, they all perform quite close to each other. And the overhead of sending a packet to a remote controller over LAN with negligible delay is just 10 to 15 microseconds. What's the best throughput that we can get from NUX on our system? That's the next question we want to answer. Best throughput corresponds to the worst delay, because we want to fill all the pipes in the system. We are going to, all our buffers are going to be full. NUX is going to take a while to empty all the buffers, and it's going to introduce a large delay. So maximum throughput is for various number of threads. So using 1 to 8 processors. What we can see in almost all the controllers is that they all scale almost linearly with the number of cores. NUX is just a simple dot here because it's single-threaded. For the rest, just one thing. 1.5 million million requests per second almost corresponds to 1 gigabit per second of control traffic. So with 8 CPU cores on our machine, we are achieving, we can sustain the control bandwidth, more than 1 gigabit per second of control bandwidth. This is just a gain from batching. But the delay is terrible. So delay is under in the order of hundreds of milliseconds, between 100 milliseconds to 400 milliseconds, the average delay, the median delay. And the basic reason is that we have large buffers in our test bed. So it might be worthwhile to size the buffers if you think it might be an issue. The next thing is to characterize how control NUX, different controllers perform under different load levels. So we could have different number of packets on the fly. The throughput, as we can see, once we double the number of requests, the throughput only slightly improves towards after 2048 packets. It almost, the increments are all almost 100,000, I believe, and less. It becomes less and less gain. But the delay doubles. So if you've doubled the number of requests, the delay doubles, you're only buying a small gain in throughput. And this is CDF is just for, with 8 threads. So with that, I want to talk about a couple of points. First of all, the machines that we use in our experiments are old. So the numbers that I presented are just related to the machine that we use. The results scale quite well with the more powerful processors that you have. So on my development machine, the result I showed here for one CPU core, it's less NUX handles less than 400,000 requests per second. On another machine with a Core i7 processor, 3.0 gigahertz, and a DDR3 RAM, it handles 1.6 million requests per second. So just your controller could have a powerful processor. Another thing is that the results are a bit old. The results that I presented to you are for the controllers that were available back in May last year, so exactly 1 year before this. And all the controllers significantly improved ever since. So just wanted to point that out. So seeing we can somehow claim that async controllers are no longer in the way of control applications. And one more thing that I want to emphasize here is that just reporting throughput alone doesn't mean much. In lots of threads and discussions, we see that. We only see that throughput is reported. Throughput corresponds to a delay. They should be reported together. And latency is the important factor. We want to optimize for latency. If we want to make a decision, if this was an automated procedure to decide to add controllers for a flow-based application which scales with the number of controllers, the point to this, the decision problem is to just decide if the delay is below the threshold or not. Once it's reaching the threshold you have set, you need more controllers. And the new NUX release is basically based on this new code base. It improves a couple of more issues. One more issue that NUX had, which is corrected in the new NUX release, dynamic memory allocation. For every single request, there was memory was allocated dynamically a couple of times. It's just for ease of development. And the new NUX release, everything is stack allocated to improve that. There is one huge issue that stays unresolved, and that is memory copying. So there is tons of memory copying involved. So every packet gets copied over a couple of times. That corresponds to, so we have one, let's say, for 1 gigabit per second of traffic, if we shuffle the bytes around, let's say, 5 times, that translates to shuffling bytes in memory, 5 gigabits of shuffling bytes in memory. So that's a huge overhead. And it's not that hard to resolve that issue, but the API needs to be reworked. Okay, thanks a lot.